When you think of the word justice, what comes to mind? I've been asking some people in church that question, and this is what they had to say.
Justice for me is about people being treated right, even when they've got no power.
Justice for me is about standing up for people who can't stand up for themselves.
Just hope that all people are done right by.
I would see justice as being about fairness and holding people to account for good things they've done or bad things they've done.
I think justice is when people get fair treatment.
For me, it's about being fair. And sometimes if things aren't fair, that gets me really quite cross. And then I think I'm really pleased that it's God is a God of justice. But I'm even more pleased that he's a God of mercy.
I think it just means fairness to everyone. Or if anything's done to anybody, that they, you know, it needs to be resolved and sorted appropriately.
I think it's just people getting treated properly.
We live in a world full of injustice and inequality. For example, did you know that 689 million people in the world today live in extreme poverty? That means they survive on less than $1.90 a day. That women and children account for 2/3 of the world's poor. That extreme poverty rates have nearly doubled in the Middle East in the last 5 years, mainly because of the conflict in Yemen and Syria. That according to the World Health Organization, 1 in 3 people in the world globally do not have access to safe drinking water. That women make up 75% of the world's workforce, yet only earn 10% of the world's income and own less than 1% of the world's property. And that 75% of the world's illiterate people are women. And that the richest 1% in the world have more than double the wealth of 6.9 billion people. And that during the coronavirus, billionaires have seen their wealth increase by 27%. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." We live in a broken world. And this was not the way God intended the world to be. In the creation account that we find in Genesis, we have this picture of what the world was meant to be like. But the Bible tells us that the reason the world is in the mess that it is in is because of human sin and pride. And sin is falling short of God's standards. It's when we put ourselves first rather than God. And sin not only damages our relationship with God, it damages our relationship with one another, and it damages our relationship with the created order as well. That's why the world is in the state that it is in. But God did not just create the world and got it going and then step back and left the world to get on by itself. God is deeply concerned about what is happening in the world. He is deeply concerned about you or me because he is a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of justice, and a God of mercy. And today I want to focus particularly on that theme of justice in this talk, because we worship a God of justice. The theologian A.W. Tozer said this: "Justice is not something God has, it is something God is." In other words, justice is part of the very nature, the very essence of God. The Oxford Dictionary explains that someone or something that is just is behaving according to what is morally right and fair. So for God to be just means that he is always right and just in whatever he does. God acts justly because he is holy. The writer to Deuteronomy said this: "He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. And in God's justice, we see his compassion for the world that he made. For example, in Exodus chapter 3, God meets with Moses and God says to Moses from the burning bush, I have seen the misery of my people in Israel. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. God is concerned about the suffering of the people on this world because he is a God of love and because he is a God of justice. And God wants to do something about that. God cannot ignore injustice. And we see in the Bible that God has a particular concern for the poor, the marginalized, and the oppressed. In Isaiah 58, we read this. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. And in Micah, we read this. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And the Apostle James writes this. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So we see throughout Scripture that God is deeply concerned about justice. God is deeply concerned about the poor and the marginalised and the oppressed. And in our reading that we had a short while ago from Isaiah chapter 42, God speaks about sending a servant who will bring justice not just to the people of Israel, but to all in the world. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. And those words were spoken as words of encouragement to the people of Israel during a particularly difficult time in their history. Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians. The temple was lying in ruins. And the people of Israel, the people of Judah, had been taken off into captivity to Babylon. And in this time of great crisis, as the Israelites are exiles in this foreign land, it feels almost as though God has abandoned them. But God reminds them of his faithfulness. He reminds them that he hasn't forgotten them or abandoned them. And he promises that he will send the one who will give them justice. But notice in Isaiah 42 that this promise is not just for the people of Israel. It is for each one of us. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. Isaiah is drawing the attention of the people of Israel from their particular situation as exiles in Babylon and showing them God's greater cosmic plan for the world. It's a little bit like you're looking through a camera lens where you're zoomed into a particular issue, and Isaiah is now zooming out so we can see God's bigger plan, God's bigger picture for not only the people of Israel, but for all the people of this world. And the one God promises to send is one that is going to be a spirit-filled servant, not a conqueror, not a tyrant. Isaiah says, a bruised reed he will not break. The one God is going to send will bring liberation and justice, not domination. And this promise that Isaiah gives to the people of Israel in Isaiah 42 was fulfilled with the coming of Jesus.
And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Sometimes we reduce the message of the gospel to being about getting to heaven when we die. But the gospel is so much more than this. In fact, it's really about bringing heaven down here onto earth. Just look at what Jesus quoted when he quoted from the prophet Isaiah in that reading from Luke. He talks about good news for the poor, freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. And this was what Jesus' ministry was all about. It is both spiritual and physical. So, for example, Jesus opened the eyes of people who were spiritually blind and physically blind as well. He set free people who were oppressed in body, mind, and spirit. And one day, Christ will return to judge the world. And on that day, the wrongs that we see in the world, the wrongs that have been committed through history, will be righted. Justice will be done on that day. God's kingdom will be seen fully on earth as in heaven. But until that day comes, as God's people, we are called to carry forth this work of justice, to carry forth the work of Christ. In our reading from Isaiah, God says this, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will take you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." Teresa of Avila said these well-known words, "Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." So Christ calls us to carry forward his work, which includes fighting against injustice. But what does engaging in this fight against injustice look like for you or for me? There are so many issues, so many challenges affecting us and affecting the world at the moment. And we can feel overwhelmed by the scale of the challenges. And we can't deal with all of them ourselves. But God will have laid on your heart one or two things that you are particularly passionate about. And they're the sorts of things that when you hear about it, something breaks inside you. Something cries out where you say, "God, this is not right. Something needs to be done about it." For some of us, it might be poverty. For others, it might be racism, or the plight of refugees, or the environment, or caring for the lonely and the isolated. It might be a compassion for the elderly, or concern for young people, or for families who are struggling, or for those who are caught in slavery, and the list goes on. But God will have given you a passion for something, a concern for something. And I would ask you, what is that? Because that is what God will be calling you to partner with him in fighting against in the world. And what can we actually do about it? Well, there are two things we can do. We can pray for justice and we can work for justice. So first of all, we can pray for justice. And injustice is a spiritual battle as much as it is a political battle. So how do we pray for justice? Well, there are four things we can do. We can get informed, we can get inspired, we can get indignant, and fourthly, we can get in sync with other people. So first of all, get informed. So think of that one issue that God has put on your heart, that one thing that you are passionate about, and get informed about it. Find out more about it. So for example, take slavery. Do you know that in the world today there are over 40 million slaves globally? And that means for every 1,000 people on the world, 5.4 of them are slaves. Did you know that human trafficking generates £100 billion a year? And that one in four slaves are children? And that 70% of modern slaves are women and girls? And that one in five slaves are victims of sexual exploitation? The rest work in industries such as agriculture, fishing, construction, manufacturing, mining, utilities, and domestic work. So what is it that you're passionate about? Get informed, find out more about it. And then next, get inspired. Go to the Bible, see what God has to say about this particular issue. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." So what would it look like for God's kingdom to come on the earth? What would it look like for God's kingdom to be seen in relation to slavery or racism or poverty or environmental issues? You know, find out what God has to say about this. Be inspired by God. And then when you're inspired, get indignant. You know, when we see the world as it is and the way the world is meant to be, the way God intended the world, we should get indignant because it's wrong that the world is the way it is. It is right to be angry about injustice because God is angry about injustice. And we need to allow that to drive us into prayer. To say, "God, may your will be done on this earth as in heaven. God, will you rise a generation of people who will feel passionately about this issue and do something about it? God, will you enable our politicians to take tough choices? God, will you help our businesses to be concerned about what they're doing and not just be focused on the bottom line, to make good decisions, good choices?" And we need to pray with passion, praying knowing that God hears and answers prayer and that the world can and will change through prayer. God can make a difference and choose to act through our prayer and our action. And fourthly, we need to get in sync with other people. Find other people who feel passionately about these same issues. Join with them in praying together, encouraging one another as you keep praying. And keep persisting in prayer, even when it feels as though nothing is changing. There are many examples in the Bible and throughout history where major breakthroughs have required faithful prayer, often over many years. So pray for justice. And then secondly, work for justice. And those four things about getting informed, getting inspired, getting indignant, and getting in sync with other people apply to working for justice as much as they do for praying for justice. So think about what practical steps can you take to make a difference? So, for example, if the thing you're passionate about is poverty, maybe for you that means getting involved in supporting a local food bank. It might mean that every time you go shopping, you'll just put one or two extra items into your basket to donate to a food bank. It might mean volunteering at a local Christians Against Poverty centre. If it's passion for the environment, it might be thinking about, well, what changes can you make to the way you live to make a difference on your environmental impact? It might mean walking to the shops rather than driving. It might mean choosing to fly less. It might mean going litter picking around where you live. It might be finding ways to reduce your consumption of goods, using charity shops rather than buying your clothes new. You know, so what can you do that would make a difference. If it's refugees, it might be getting involved in the Carlisle Refugee Action Group. If it's the elderly, it might be joining a befriending scheme or contacting your local care home and seeing if it's possible to go and visit some of the residents. Now, of course, that's not possible at the moment, but once this pandemic has passed, that will be hopefully possible again. It might be thinking about, well, are there any elderly people living on my street who would really appreciate the invitation to come round for a coffee or a phone call? If it's youth, then it might be volunteering to help work alongside young people in a local school, through the church, or out in the community. It might be making the effort to befriend a young person, to get to know them, to find out what they're passionate about and supporting them in that. It might mean campaigning on an issue that you're passionate about. It might be about raising money and awareness. It might be speaking out to those who hold power, holding them to account for their actions. You know, who knows what difference our actions can make? The Swedish environmentalist Greta Thunberg was so concerned about climate change that in August 2018, she decided she had to do something about it. And she started her school climate strike. And it began with just Greta by herself, with her sign, sat outside the Swedish Parliament, week in, week out. And initially she was completely there by herself. But slowly, other people started to hear what she was doing. And she inspired other young people who were also concerned about climate change to do something about it as well. And we have seen these protests for climate change spreading across the world. And Greta herself has seen many world leaders, has spoken at the UN Climate Action Summit and was named Time Person of the Year in 2019. That one young girl has made such a difference. She has caught public attention on a hugely important issue, an issue of justice, because climate change is a justice issue. She has taken a stand on something that she is passionate about. My question to you today is, what is God calling you to take a stand on? Amen.